Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 17th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week the GGB Podcast features an interview with Scott Winsler, the chairman and CEO of Sega Sammy Creation, on his plans to help the Japanese company make a difference in the slot manufacturing business. The GGB Podcast is sponsored by IGT. Give your players what they came for with IGT's top-performing themes featuring the biggest jackpots. IGT's wide area progressives draw a crowd on every casino floor. Visit IGT.com for more information. Sega Sammy is a Japanese company with divisions that include developing innovative video games and pachinko machines that serve the massive appetite for those games in Japan. The company has been trying to penetrate the slot machine industry for over a decade with fits and starts. 2 years ago, Sega Sammy created a U.S. division, Sega Sammy Creation, to accelerate that effort and hired former IGT executive Scott Winsler to run it. Winsler explains how he's been methodically approaching slot development in the U.S. and why tribal gaming and HHR racing machines are big parts of that plan. He met with me at the Sega Sammy Creation office in Las Vegas in March. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. I'm Roger Gross, and my guest today is Scott Winsler from Sega Sammy Creation. Scott, it's good to see you again. It's been a couple of years since we got together, and I know you got a lot to fill us in on, so thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Let's start again. Let's back up to what part of the large corporation, obviously Sega Sammy's a huge multinational corporation. What part does Sega Sammy play in that corporation?
Right. So the group is over a dozen companies, mm-hmm. and we are the only licensed gaming company. We were formed several years back to pursue bringing our products into the land-based gaming operations here in the U.S. and Asia.
Okay. So you are related to the Asian company. I know when I used to go to G2E Asia, I would see some incredible machines, you know. Is that still part of this company?
Yes. Okay. So we have a group of about 70 engineers in Tokyo that mm-hmm. are under my stewardship, okay. and then the team here is about 20. But the group there did start off with some of the larger ETG type stuff, mm-hmm. electronic and stadium seating.
Sure. Right.
Some pretty big. Projects that they, I think, were using some of their Sega arcade history and experience to bring those out to the market.
It's kind of ahead of its time, though. Nowadays, you know, we see these stadiums and they're just as spectacular as they were. But I was always very impressed in those days when I would come and see these huge roulette wheels and things of that nature.
Yeah, they definitely took that full-heartedly.
Yeah, absolutely. So Sega Sammy, is based in Japan, and it makes some great pachinko and pachishuri machines. How does that relate to the gaming machines and the games that you're developing today?
Well, the pachisuro side of it, it's a three-reel spinning, it's a mechanical reel game.
Right, sure.
Coin in, coin out, and bonuses and such. So the basics are the same,
right?
But the regulations are drastically different. Mm-hmm. And then the pachinko is a whole different animal. But the fact that as a company they have manufactured, designed and manufactured millions of boxes.
Sure.
Over the years, we have that engineering strength and experience to work on our products.
Sure. And the technology, I guess, they're all very familiar with, all the engineers that they're working with.
Yeah. It's just amazing that they've been down the road of designing a box and putting electronics in it. So they do a very good job. We've had no quality issues, mm-hmm. no design issues.
Sure.
So it's really nice to have that legacy.
Okay, so what is your focus now? Cabinets are such a big thing. I know last time we were here, you were showing me a cabinet that was pretty impressive. And have you gone to the next level with the cabinets right now?
Not yet. This one launched. Well, it was supposed to launch at G2E 2020.
That's right. Yeah.
It really hit the market January 21. So it's just a year old.
Okay.
I think we'll ride that for a while. Everybody mm-hmm. seems to think it's competitive. It's good looking. It's reliable. So that'll be around for a while.
It is. It's a very, very attractive machine. It's got the flat screen, right? Mm-hmm. About 6 feet tall.
49-inch screen.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's really fun to look at. And how about the games? Obviously, the games are the heartbeat of the product. How are you doing with those?
So we've had a learning curve, you know, from a couple of years ago, and I think last year is when we finally hit our stride. We've had a couple of games that really performed all year long. Mm-hmm. The first two games that we launched on that cabinet, it was a Mighty Diamonds series.
Okay.
One was called Wand of the Witch, and the other was Happy Mariachi.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, we installed the first one's down in San Manuel, which is now Yamava, in December of 2020, and they are still chugging away.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had good success with that. Just before G2E last year in October, we launched another pair, a Panda's Treasure and a Pirate's Treasure. They're kind of clones of each other,
mm-hmm.
and those are doing really well. So we're happy to see some of the products finally, you know, taking a root, and our customers are enjoying them.
Okay. So once you get a game, and are they all developed in Japan right now?
Yes. Those four that I just mentioned are all done from our in-house team.
Okay.
We do a little bit of third-party work with outside developers, where they'll bring us the game concept and art and sound and so much.
Okay.
Then we do the integration and put it onto our platform.
Okay.
But it's probably 60% of all the games that we develop are done in-house.
Okay. And how do you test them? Do you get focus groups together, or do you just put it out for a beta test in a casino?
So, you know, with us being here, we talk with the operators regularly and get their feedback and provide that back to our team. We just, for the first time this year, have done a focus group to try to assess some of the ideas that we have coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And then any game that we launch, we usually do in a kind of a limited release just to make sure it has some interest before we push it out more broadly.
How about third-party branded games? Are you interested in doing anything like that?
Well, we have our own branded. We just released House of the Dead, which has been done in the past by others.
Okay.
But we have our version that just came out last month in January, and it's doing quite well. We do have some other IP of our own that we are planning to put into a game.
Right.
But as far as going out and licensing third-party IP right now, that's not on our immediate timeline.
Okay, great. So, you know, I've been walking through casinos in the last 6 months or so and notice a trend. The games are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and obviously Sega Sammy had that experience early on. So are you going to design larger games so that, you know, they take up more floor space? Obviously, there's floor space is not necessarily at a premium anymore.
Right. It seems like the floors have thinned a bit.
Right.
You know, they've got a little more spacing, whether that was for COVID purposes or just to give a little more space. But I don't really see the need for a much bigger product than what we have.
Mm-hmm.
We've got plenty of real estate on that screen to do just about anything we want.
Yeah, that's a good size screen.
You know, if you had a real a compelling story, like with a third party IP, something branded that you could really do larger box or a larger wrap around it, that could be. But right now, that's not something we're looking at.
Right. Okay. Great. So, when are you licensed in most of your jurisdictions right now? I mean, that's always a big hurdle for slot companies.
Yeah, we're still way a long road for that.
Yeah.
Obviously, California, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Florida, Arkansas, Oklahoma, you know, a few others that we're licensing. You know, now we're looking at Canada.
Yeah,
it's just a really long process.
It is
so,
a long road. Yeah.
And as you know, California, you get the state license, but then you have, you know, whatever 60, 70 tribal licenses to go after. So that'll be an ongoing challenge here for the next couple of years.
Okay. Are you considering any kind of distributorship type of arrangement?
We do have a couple in Oklahoma, for example. Okay. Gaming Capital Group is with us.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a group called KGM on the East Coast that helps us out with a few things and have started to place products. And then we're talking to a group up in Canada to see if they can help us out. So definitely.
Great. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Obviously, tribal gaming is important to any small manufacturer just starting out. You're not small or just starting out, but obviously that plays a big role. How important is that to Sega Sammy right now?
Well, some of our best customers have been the tribal folks, both, you know, California as well as Florida, Oklahoma, where I don't know if they saw us as an underdog, wanted to give us a try or whatever, but definitely have been open to try some of our product and the stuff that is performing, then they're happy to then take on another bank. So definitely has been a great component to our customer base.
Okay. Do you have Class 2 games as well?
We do not.
Okay.
You know, it's not something we look to pursue immediately. I mean, there's plenty of people doing that right now. We kind of have to focus on one area at a time.
How about HHRs? Obviously, they're becoming big in several states. Or is that something that you're interested in?
Well, that's actually something we have had a conversation with. It's not formally announced, but a group is interested in using our game content and then port it onto their platform. So that's probably something you'll see in the very near future.
Okay, great. So when it comes to tribal gaming, do you see any changes there in terms of how they're utilizing? I know some of the Arizona casinos, as you said, have spread out the games and a little more elbow room on the floor. I don't know that that's possible at a place like Yamava. I mean, people are packed in there for every square inch. But in some of the other, you know, less popular casinos, do you see more of a trend toward, you know, spreading out of the floor?
I don't see it as a trend going forward. I think it happened over the last 2 years because of COVID. They were just looking at a way to give a little more space between it. But I don't see that as a trend, like to continue to reduce the machine count.
Right, right. So you think they're going to go back to kind of the pre-COVID, you know, density that we had back then?
Again, maybe not swinging back that way, but maybe kind of holding status quo. I know a lot of people are still watching their dollars.
You
know, had to kind of refrain from purchasing during 2020 because there was no revenue.
Right.
People are now you know, starting to see profits again. And so we've had a lot of people that had taken a product on a rev share early on have now converted that to a sale because they now have that capital to spend again. But as far as, you know, flooding the floor again and trying to jam every machine on there, I don't think that'll happen right away.
Right. No, that's for sure. Nonstop thrills meet massive jackpots. IGT's wide area progressives draw a crowd on every floor with the well-known brands like Wheel of Fortune slots and Megabucks. IGT's newest game, Money Mania, is based off player favorites Cleopatra and Pharaoh's Fortune. Money Mania brings the excitement with a fast-hitting wide area progressive jackpot. Give your players what they came for with the top-performing themes featuring the biggest jackpots. Visit IGT.com for more details. So let's talk about how your company got through the pandemic. I mean, it certainly impacted everybody in the industry. Did you keep your R&D teams working at the same time, or did you have to lay people off for a certain amount of months?
No, the good thing was nobody was let go because of this. You know, in Japan, we've got about 70 people there. The 2/3 of them were able to work remotely. Some people, it's just their job physically requires them to be on site. Here, again, some of the techs have to come in because you can't remotely move machines around and configure machines.
Yep.
But a lot of our staff, even today, now that things have kind of gone mask-free, still kind of do a kind of a blended. You know, probably 2/3 of the time they're at home and pop into the office when they need to take care of something or have a meeting. So I think a lot of companies have realized we can still be quite productive by not being in the office every day.
Yeah, right. So when the casino started open, you have service personnel that you send out to take care of the machines out there? And how did that work during that period?
So when they were shut down completely, a lot of people had some time. We told them, you know, I know one of our guys remodeled his kitchen. And so we just said, you know, try to make yourself productive, but we didn't let anybody go. But at the same time, we really didn't have things for some of those folks to do. So we just said, try to take advantage of this time. And when things come back online, we'll put you back to work. And so we did that. And now they're back to normal, running around doing installs and conversions and stuff.
Great. So what's your install base coming up here? You have a bunch of installs ready to go or scheduled at this point?
Yeah, it's just kind of steady. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not getting orders of 100 machines per site. It's usually a bank here and a bank there.
Sure.
But it's pretty consistent. You know, we're up in Northern California now.
Okay.
Southern California is starting to become, you know, I think Oklahoma is our number two. Nevada's number one.
Okay.
Oklahoma's number two, and then California's right behind for as far as units installed. And then Florida, the Seminole of had our games for a while, and they're doing well, and so now the other sites are starting to express interest.
Okay, great. So how about in the online gaming market? You know, obviously there's a lot of content that goes on to that market. Where are you in that area?
We have engaged a group in Europe to take some of our games and port them over onto their RGS. That is yet to actually hit the world, hit the market, but that's in progress, and definitely looking at here in the U.S. as well. Mm-hmm. It seems everybody we talk to says they need content, so trying to figure out who the best partners are and how to get that out is something we're still evaluating, but it's definitely something we want to be involved with.
Sure. Is there a difference between designing a game for a machine than for online?
Yeah, Europe has way more maturity in the online world and have kind of established what they like. Mm-hmm. For example, Asian themes seem to do quite well here in the land-based world, but not so much over in Europe. Mm-hmm. Bet structures are different. Math models are different.
Yeah,
they want, seems like, a little bit more crazy volatility than... So, it's, I think, just to take a off-the-shelf game that you sell here in Nevada and try to have it successful in Europe is probably not going to be super portable like that. A little bit of tweaking has to be done.
It seems, though, in the U.S. online market that the popular games on the casino are also popular online. Is that what you're hearing as well?
Yeah, I see that as well, and I think it's because our market here is so much more younger that the players that are doing it probably have spent a lot of time in a casino, and so they're going to play the games that they're familiar with.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll probably evolve, though, as the market becomes more mature.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few games that have become very popular online and aren't necessarily that popular in the land-based casino. So, again, it's early in the history of online gaming in the U.S. to really make that determination yet, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the, we talked about third parties earlier, one of the groups we're working with, Wild Streak Games, they've got a game, Dragon Power, that's been out on the online space for quite a couple of years now, and we've licensed that to bring that out to the casino. So they hadn't put it out to the casino previously, so we were able to get that. So we're excited for that to come out later this year.
Okay. How about the bonus rounds? I mean, they seem to be the area where slot companies are really developing new and different things. You have some different ideas for bonus rounds and things of that nature?
Yeah, I mean, we're using some of the proven features that everybody has, but trying to put a slightly different twist. We've got some games coming out from our partner, Sammy, who's our in-house sister company.
Right.
And they're bringing some of their ideas from the Pachinko and Pachisero world to just have a different look, a different approach. Obviously, it still has to meet our regulations over here. But, if you go too far off, then it's unfamiliar and it's difficult for players to understand in a $20 or $40 session.
Yeah.
But definitely trying to make it give us something to be distinguished different from others.
Sure, absolutely. So where would you like to see a Sega Sammy creation over the next 5 years?
Well, we're obviously growing. Getting licenses has been a goal, and so in a 3 to 5 year period, we should be covering the U.S. by then and looking at, like I said, mentioned earlier, Canada. We've got some activity going on in Mexico. Asia has always been part of our initiative, but it's been shut down. They haven't come back to life, but we do believe that's going to come back online eventually, and then we'll pursue that. So. But our primary goal is North America. It's the rest of the world could be, phase two.
Sure. Right.
But just probably, making sure that we're licensed everywhere and having, a product just about anywhere we want to go. One of the things at G2E last year, we had a lot of people came to the booth that we'd never met with, but they'd heard about us, said, "Hey, we like your product." And then we said, "Well, where are you based?" And we're like, "Oh, sorry, we're not licensed there yet."
Right. Yeah.
So I'd love to, next G2E be able to tell people, "Hey, we can come see you now."
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That's really the gating factor at this point.
Sure. Sure. That'd be great. And how about last time we talked? There was not a lot of action in the homeland of the company in Japan, but now we see actual plans on board. It's still a ways away, but do you expect to really play a big role in Japanese casinos when they get rolling?
Well, we had focused on the Yokohama opportunity, and unfortunately, last summer there was a mayor election, and the individual that won that election is a opposed to casinos. So that kind of got shot down. We were partnered up with the Genting Group out of Malaysia.
Right.
And both of us have said we're still interested in being involved in the IR opportunity in Japan, but we're going to wait and see where the next opportunity is, because right now it's, you know, Osaka's one, right. Nagasaki's the other, and there's, I think, Wakayama is another prefecture that has actively pursuing bids. Our company's more interested in something around the Tokyo area, so right now it's kind of a wait and see if one of the prefectures around there starts moving in that direction.
Sure. Great. Great. Well, Scott, it sounds like you've made a lot of progress, even with the pandemic in the way here, but things are opening up in the U.S. And Canada, for that matter. So I think there's a lot of runway ahead of you for now. So thanks for taking the time to join us, and hopefully we'll catch up with you in a year or so and make sure that you're still progressing.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast, with thanks again to IGT. Give your players what they came for with IGT's top-performing themes featuring the biggest jackpots. IGT's wide-area progressives draw a crowd on every casino floor. Visit IGT.com for more information. To learn more about Sega Sam Recreation and its unique slot games, visit GGBMagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Amazon or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.